Our reading from God's Word this evening is found in the Turquoise Pew Bible, and it's Romans chapter 3, verses 21 to 31, and can be found on page 1130. That's page 1130, Romans chapter 3, verses 21 to 31. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. Because of the law? The law that requires works? No, because of the law that requires faith. For we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Or is God the God of the Jews only? Is he not the God of the Gentiles too? Yes, of the Gentiles too, since there is only one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through that same faith. Do we then nullify the law by this faith? Not at all. Rather, we uphold the law. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you very much for reading for us, Alan. A privilege to read that passage, a privilege for us to hear it read to us. We're on page 1131. If you shut it, it'd be good to have it open in front of you. Such a privilege to have the Bible in our own language. We've been celebrating today those who gladly laid down their lives for us to preserve our political freedom, amongst other things. But there were many, of course, who laid down their lives to preserve this truth that we're looking at today, justification by faith alone. Just in the reign of Bloody Mary, 300 people were burned at the stake to preserve this truth for us. Let's give thanks and let's pray as we come to this passage. Father, thank you for those who laid down their lives to preserve this very precious truth that we're able to look at this evening. Whoever we are, whether we've never heard of it before or whether we're very familiar with it, we pray that this truth would sink deeper into our minds and then into our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I wonder if you sometimes find yourself walking on eggshells around a particular person because you don't want to upset them, and so you never really dare to tell them the truth. Or perhaps there's been times when you've received some negative feedback and you've been crushed by it. Do you sometimes find that you've served, perhaps at church, and that service isn't recognized and you're miffed? Or you put up a Facebook post and you don't get many likes and that bothers you? In your prayer life, let me ask, if you've ever sinned, do you find that you're more hesitant to pray when you're conscious of a particular sin? Or if you've read your Bible that morning, actually you leap to pray. Do you have those days when you think, well, everything is going wrong today, and then you think, I wonder if the Lord is punishing me? Perhaps you hate saying no to people, and you're always mentioning just how busy you are. Do you find sometimes you sin and then begin to doubt whether you're really a Christian? In your conversations, do you sometimes catch yourself boasting of your achievements? Or perhaps you look at other Christians sometimes and think, you know what, I'm a bit of a second-class Christian. Or do you get frustrated with other Christians and you think to yourself, I just wish they could get their act together? Subtext, like I have. Now, if one or more of those are true of you, the reason may well be that you do not believe or are struggling to believe the teaching, the biblical teaching of justification by faith alone. The reformer Martin Luther said, "If justification is lost and perishes, the whole knowledge of truth, life, and salvation is lost and perishes at the same time. But if it flourishes, everything good flourishes." See what he's saying? He's saying if we hold on to justification, everything flourishes. The church flourishes, and as our individual lives as Christians flourish. But if we lose hold of justification by faith alone, then everything perishes. Now that's a pretty big claim, isn't it? Is it true? Well, over these 5 weeks, we're looking at the five solas of the Reformation, and sola is the Latin word for alone. And last week, we saw the first sola, which is salvation by grace alone. And this week, we come to what is really the central truth of the Reformation, justification by faith alone. You might have caught David Starkey's recent documentary on the Reformation, maybe you didn't, but he was pointing out the social and political and cultural factors responsible for the Reformation. But what really sparked the Reformation was actually the rediscovery of the Bible and this doctrine, justification by faith alone. I'm going to take as our text this evening verse 28 of chapter 3. "For we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law." We've been justified by faith alone. Each part of that sentence is very important. And so we're going to just dissect it this evening and begin with the fact that we have been justified, our first point. Now, why does justification matter? Let me give you an illustration. Consider a criminal who is guilty of multiple appalling crimes, and they are trapped in a life of crime, and they find that they are circling around, unable to ever break free from this life of crime. In fact, it is spiraling downwards. And they know that one day they will be caught. They will be sentenced to life with no possibility of parole, no early release for good behavior. We all need justification because this is the human condition. We are each guilty of cosmic treason. We refuse to let God be God. Look at how Luther puts it for us. Man is by nature unable to want God to be God. Indeed, he himself wants to be God and does not want God to be God. Paul puts it even more succinctly in verse 23. "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And God will call us to account, each of us, and we will be justly sentenced to endless punishment. Because we have sinned against an infinitely glorious God, we are justly sentenced to an infinitely appalling punishment. And that is our natural plight. And that is why we need justification. Now, let me give you a definition which I'm just going to modify a little bit later on, but it'll do for now. Justification is God's declaration in advance of Judgment Day that we are innocent. God's declaration in advance of Judgment Day that we're innocent. It's the judge saying, though you are guilty as charged, I declare you innocent of all charges. Expunge your criminal record and promise that when your case comes to trial, it will be thrown out. This law court picture is the picture that the Bible has in mind when it talks about justification. When it says that a Christian is justified, it means that right now, before Judgment Day, God has declared us innocent of all charges. And it is why Paul can write later on in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, therefore there is now, you know the verse, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Justification is a legal declaration of acquittal. So when everything is going wrong, if you're a Christian, you know God is not punishing you. He has already punished Jesus in your place and has declared you not guilty. He is just, therefore he cannot and will not be punishing you. And if God accepts you, well, that frees you to be rejected by others, doesn't it? And it frees you to speak to the truth to them, even if that means that you might be rejected and snubbed by them. And it frees you from any sense of crushing when you receive negative feedback. Because you know the verdict that really matters has already been pronounced upon you. It is God's verdict on you, which is not guilty. And it frees you too from craving the approval of and likes from your boss or friend or social media contact. Justification is a legal change of status. And it is not a change of nature. Justification is not about being made righteous. It's not an ethical change. That's not what we're talking about in the first place when we come to justification. Because, you know, if think about it, if justification was about being made righteous and we could tell if we were justified because we were righteous, then all of us would begin to doubt our salvation, wouldn't we? We would begin to say to ourselves, am I righteous enough to count myself justified? And when the devil accuses me of those sins that I do and continue to do, has he got a point? Well, if justification is about being made righteous, then the answer is yes, he has got a point. But if we are declared righteous, innocent, then no, he hasn't got a point. Because we've already heard the verdict of the judge. Innocent. Not guilty, which means there will be no surprises on Judgment Day. No surprises. Listen once again to Martin Luther. Let me read it for you in case you can't see it. When the devil throws our sins up to us and declares that we deserve death and hell, we ought to speak thus. I admit that I deserve death and hell. What of it? Does this mean I shall be sentenced to eternal damnation? By no means, for I know one who suffered and made satisfaction in my behalf. His name is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Where he is, there I shall be also. Isn't that marvelous? So we're declared righteous. But how? How can I be right with God? Of course, some don't even raise that question. Many people are concerned about their standing before their mates, but not about their standing before God. They're interested in what people say, but not in what God says. Interested in the judgment of our peers, but not in the judgment of God. But just a moment of sanity And we realise there is nothing more important than what God thinks of us. And God thinks that there is only one way a person can be justified, and that's by faith. Which brings us to the second point. We have been justified by faith. Now, perhaps you think, great, we're on to forgiveness. That's what God does. But let me tell you, it's not that simple. This is what Proverbs 17, verse 15 says. Acquitting the guilty and condemning the innocent, the Lord detests them both. Acquitting the guilty. The Lord detests doing that. So how can God say that we're in the right with him when we are in the wrong? How can God possibly acquit the guilty? By faith. Now, I don't want you to miss this, says Paul, so I'm going to say it a few times. Justification is by faith. Perhaps as we had it read, verse 22, this righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Then verse 25, God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. Verse 26, halfway through, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Verse 27, right at the end, they know because of the law that requires faith. Verse 28, for we maintain that a person is justified by faith. Verse 30, since there is only one God who will justify the circumcised by faith, and the uncircumcised through the same faith, Jew and Gentile, by faith. Get Paul's point here. He thinks faith is pretty important here, doesn't he? Of course, he's talking about true faith, because there's such a thing as false faith. And the reformers and those who came after them, people like Francis Turretin, talked about at least three elements or components of faith. Content, acceptance, and trust. See, some people say, look, it doesn't really matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. Some say that, but the Bible doesn't say that. Of course, sincerity matters. Sincerity is important. But you can be sincerely wrong. There is a certain content which is necessary for saving faith. Content about the person of Jesus and his work, his life, death, and resurrection. You need to know the content. But knowing about Jesus isn't enough to save you. True faith has another component, acceptance. So you need to accept the content as fact. So you need to accept that Brazil is a better football team, even if you support England. But even this kind of faith falls short of true faith. It is demonic. So we can say Jesus is Lord. We can accept that Jesus is Lord. But James says in his letter, well, even the demons do that. They know Jesus is Lord. They accept it. They know it's a fact. They just don't believe it. They don't trust in Christ. I mean, non-Christians like that sometimes. They understand justification. They could explain it to you. They accept that it's true. It's just that they haven't come to a personal trust in Jesus Christ. Trust is the third element of true saving faith. It's one thing, isn't it, to say, I believe that chair down there can hold my weight. Quite another thing to then go and sit on that chair and to prove that I trust that it really can hold my weight. It's one thing to say, I believe that Jesus forgives. It's quite another thing to go to him, to cast yourself upon him, and to say to him, Lord Jesus, if you don't forgive me, I am doomed, I am damned, I am eternally lost. I put my life in your hands. I trust you. And you see, true faith has all of those components. There's content, there's acceptance of the truth, and there is trusting of the truth as well. And if you don't have all of those three components, then Judgment Day could well be a nasty surprise. Now, our question was, how can God acquit the guilty? And the answer we've seen is by faith, by the kind of faith that trusts in Jesus and in his sacrificial death. The kind of faith that says, either he dies for me or I die. Faith is like a bridge or like a double aqueduct. Our sewage flows to him, and pure water flows to us. Actually, Luther used the illustration of marriage. He said that what faith does is it unites us to Christ, like in a marriage, and therefore we become one. We are united to him by faith, faith union. And what's happened when we've come to Christ and trusted him, as paupers, we have married a trillionaire. And what's happened is our debt has flowed to him and his riches have flowed to us. He receives our sin and we receive his righteous status. Verse 22 says that. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. It's a wonderful exchange. It's more than a simple declaration of innocence. This is where I'm expanding my definition from earlier on. To be justified is to be just as if I'd never sinned, but it is also to be just as if I'd lived perfectly. As well. The hymn writer William Cowper was committed to an asylum in St. Albans, and the doctor in charge used to leave Bibles around for people to find. And one day, December 1763, Cowper picked up a Bible and he read from Romans 3, verse 25. And this is what he wrote as a result. He says, immediately I received the strength to believe it, and the full beams of the Son of Righteousness shone upon me. I saw the sufficiency of the atonement he had made, my pardon sealed in his blood, and all the fullness and completeness of his justification. In a moment I believed and received the gospel. Unless the almighty arm had been under me, I think I should have died with gratitude and joy. My eyes filled with tears and my voice choked. I could only look up to heaven in silent fear, overwhelmed with love and wonder. See, this is why God can justly acquit the guilty. Because in Christ, we are not guilty. We're innocent. In fact, we're more than innocent. We are righteous because we are in Christ. When God looks at us and he considers our legal status before him, if we have faith in him, what does he see? He sees his innocent and he sees his righteous son. By faith. Now, how do we get this faith? Do we sort of need to screw up our eyes and hands and sort of pray really hard to get it? No, simply by asking for it. And of course, that's the answer when our friends say to us, isn't it, I wish I had your faith. Well, we can answer and say, well, you can, just ask for it. We are justified by faith. Now, the Catholic Church taught and continues to teach that justification comes through faith and the sacraments, things like baptism, confirmation, and communion. And herein lies a great gulf. And so sadly, the division between us and our Catholic friends continues to be a justified division. Because the difference is that we believe, and this is our third point, that we have been justified by faith alone. Let me ask you, would a Roman Catholic be able to say, I believe in justification by faith? Answer, yes. See, some people say, well, Protestants believe in justification by faith, Catholics believe in justification by works, but that's actually to slander the Catholic Church. The crucial difference and the crucial issue at the Reformation was this word alone. That's what the Reformation hinged on. And a Roman Catholic will not be able to say that they believe in justification by faith alone. Now, you might recognize one of these. So in case you can't see it, is a round pound. Legal tender until the middle of last month. But if you had taken one to Poundland from the 14th of October to right the way through to the 31st of October, they promised to accept it, graciously promising to consider it legal tender, even though it isn't. Now, here's an illustration of what Martin Luther believed as a Roman Catholic monk. Offer what you have, and though legally speaking it is invalid, God will graciously accept it. Offer what you can, and God will make up the difference. So you're saved by your works, and your faith secures the extra grace that you need. Now, if you ask most people, they'll say something like, I'm not perfect, I've given it my best shot, I've tried to love people, but you know, God doesn't expect perfection, does he? In other words, what they're saying is, look, I've got 70% in this exam, I don't know whether that's an A or not, but I certainly know that it's going to pass, I'm sure God will accept me. And they never worry about the 30%. Luther did. In fact, he radically doubted his ability to even offer the 70%. And this caused Luther to despair, because he was just never sure that he had really done his best to make up that 70%, and therefore God would top it up. He wasn't sure that he could even do that. And so what he did as a monk is he kept confessing his shortfall. And at one point his superior said to him this. No, he didn't. I'll read what he said. Perhaps I didn't put it on the PowerPoint. I like this, though. He said, look here, Brother Martin, if you're going to confess so much, why don't you do something worth confessing? Kill your mother or father. Commit adultery. Stop coming in here with such flummery and fake sins. But you see, Luther realized that even the 70% was just too much for him. How could he know that he had done his best? And he was haunted by this, haunted by the thoughts of his own insincerity and the insufficiency of his own best efforts. And it nearly drove him to despair. Until, that is, he discovered justification by faith alone. He realized that you cannot contribute. He read Paul, for we maintain that a person is justified by faith, verse 28, apart from the works of the law. Justification by faith alone. Now, if you grasp this teaching, you'll realize that you cannot boast. Why? Because you realize that you have nothing to contribute. God doesn't graciously just top you up. The point is you have no credit. The point is, in fact, that you are in great debt. God doesn't justify the godly. God doesn't even justify the partly godly. God justifies the ungodly. Now, with all this teaching of justification by faith alone, the crit came back to Luther. People said to him, look, it's really dangerous to say that we're justified by faith alone. If you go and start saying that, people start doing all kinds of crazy stuff. Morality will just go out of the window. People will say, well, I'll sin because God will forgive me. Martin, your justification by faith will lead to lawlessness. No, it won't, said Martin Luther. We don't nullify the law. Rather, verse 31, we uphold the law. Justification by faith alone doesn't lead to law-breaking. Our criminal from earlier, he may or may not go back to a life of crime. But when you became a Christian, when you trusted by Christ, when you were justified, not only were you justified, but God also gave you a new heart, a new spirit, a new disposition within you. You no longer wanted to live that old life. Oh, you still mess up, of course you do. But fundamentally, there was something that was changed. You have been justified by faith alone. But faith is never alone. It's one of the slogans of the reformers. The faith that justifies is fruity. Let me put it like that. Faith bears fruit. And if you've been a Christian for any time, you'll be able to look back, or people who know you well will be able to look back, and they will be able to see that there has been a change. Now, your fruit may not be fully grown. It may even be a little bit shriveled or very shriveled. But if you have been justified, there will be fruit. You might even have a time in your life when you just go back to complete craziness for a bit and plunge into the world. But if you have been justified by faith alone, you will come out of that worldliness at some point and you will begin to live distinctly again. Justification by faith alone, but faith is never alone. See, even the thief on the cross bore fruit, didn't he? He rebuked the other person who was mocking Jesus. Now, this is why the Bible can speak of Judgment Day being based upon works. But you say, well, I thought we were justified by faith. Yes, but the point is, if you're justified by faith, there will be evidence, it will be demonstrated, it will be shown that you believe that. You're justified by faith alone. This doesn't mean that we condemn the commandments. It means that the commandments no longer condemn us. Now, let's come back to this quote. And I love this. The righteousness of God, just to summarize, this is a picture of what justification is. The righteousness of God is our standing place in the air. That is to say, where there is no possibility of standing, whose foundations are laid by God himself, and supported always by him only. I love that image. On the one hand, what it's saying is that we ourselves have no leg, no ground to stand on. On the other hand, it captures, doesn't it, the absolute security of our position. And because if we're believing in Christ, we all have this radical security, that means there are no second-class Christians. There are only Christians, people who have been justified. So you're not a cut above anyone else here, and they are not a cut above you. You see, you don't have your act together, and nor do I. And yet we are all acceptable to God on the same basis, faith in Christ alone. And because we have this radical security, let's not look for acceptance in anyone or anything except Christ. Don't need to boast of your achievements or let people know just how important or busy you are. It's okay. You can relax. You're already accepted by God. He's not impressed by your 16-hour day. He's already impressed by you because when he looks at you, he sees Christ. And so he already loves and accepts you. And because of our radical security in Christ, we can say goodbye to insecurity. Someone taught me to pray once, "Lord, thank you, there's nothing I can do today that will make me more your child, nor anything that I fail to do that will make me less your child." A great prayer to pray at breakfast and then again at dinner time, because it's the prayer of the person who has been justified by faith alone. Beloved in Christ, when Jesus died on the cross, his final word was, "It is finished." He didn't say, "I'm finished." He said, "It is finished." He was referring to the punishment. He was referring to your punishment because you are, by faith, united to him. If anyone thinks it is not necessary or not enough that you have to add your works to what Jesus did, then you can be sure that you will perish. But if you trust in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone, then you will flourish in this life and on Judgment Day. Justification by faith alone is the article by which the church and we stand or fall. And that's why we must maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Should we take a moment just to give thanks ourselves for this wonderful truth? And perhaps just call to mind one of those things that I've mentioned that we need to work at to get this truth into our hearts so that we're not crushed by that feedback or don't think about ourselves as second-class Christians or whatever it is. And then I'll pray and then I'll invite Brian back up. Father, again, we thank you for those who fought and even died to preserve this truth. Thank you for this truth. Thank you that it means that we can live with confidence, not in ourselves, but in what you have done. And we pray that you would help us to join up these dots in our thinking between what we know theoretically to be true into our lives, so that we might live with the freedom that you have provided for us and the confidence that on Judgment Day you will declare us innocent, not guilty, and also in Christ righteous. Praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.